It is awesome to get to see all of you here today. Some of you have never met each other. You've invited each other to church because you've never been in the first service or the second service at the same time. I get this all the time, and they'll tell me, they say, look, I met somebody at Walmart the other day, and I invited them to church. And I said, well, what happened? They said, they already come. And they were wondering where I went to church. And this Sunday morning, we get a chance to all gather together and have one service together. I hope that you got here early to get some breakfast and things from 7 to 8. And if you didn't, I'm sorry. It was good. Somebody said it was good. You probably needed the sleep. I think my sons would have said, I'll sacrifice the food for the sleep. But it's so good and so it's just humbling to see all of you here today and to see us all gather together to worship the Lord together. This is part of the dream that we had, along with all the other things we want to do, from concerts to different things. But this was one of the days we had in mind, was we wanted to be able to have one service where all of us get to come together. And for many years, we've never been able to do that. And today, part of that dream comes true. Can you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise? And I know a lot of you have got places to go and different things, and I'm not going to try to hold you any longer than I have to. I get picked at a lot about, in fact, they said Vegas had odds out this week on me. I had to do a devotion at the Baptist church, and they said they were laying bets in Vegas whether I could do a 20-minute devotion at the Baptist church this week, and if you bet on me, you lost. It was 24 minutes, 24, 4 minutes. And hey. Let's just get past that. This morning I want to try to deal with a topic that really hopefully makes sense more than just the resurrection and just simply Jesus dying on a cross. I heard as we were playing the video when we started, that was one of the young people behind me said, is that Jesus? And a lot of times we see the cross and we see all the other things and we don't really put it into context this morning as we're dressing up and we're getting ready to come to church of all that took place in his life and all that happened so that we could be here, so that we could sit in this room, so that we could celebrate and sing songs and have fun, eat breakfast and enjoy. But Jesus did it all for that purpose. Everything he went through, everything he endured, everything he had to take on was simply for the purpose of us being able to come today and celebrate. In fact, the whole reason everything was ever done was this one reason. When you read the Bible, the main character of the Bible will always be this. It will be Jesus. Doesn't matter if it's Old Testament or New Testament. You will be able to picture through and see symbols of Him in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we see Him in reality. He is the main character of the entire Bible. But the main theme of the entire Bible is not Jesus. It is family. The whole theme of the entire Bible is that there is a God of this universe, a God who designed, created, built, formed, spoke into existence everything that is. And He did it all with one main purpose in mind, so that He might redeem to Himself a people that He could call His family. This was the whole creation. It was all designed for this one reason. It doesn't matter if you go all the way back to Genesis, and when you start there, He is enjoying Himself. God is coming in the cool of the evening and walking with His creation. He is walking with Adam, and He is talking with him, and He's spending time with him. This is God's ultimate plan. It is not just simply to have a world or to simply have a place or simply for you to live and die. It is so that in His beautiful plan, we would all
all eventually end up in heaven together, and that everyone, in fact, he says, it is not my will that any should perish, that all should come unto salvation, that every single person that's ever lived, breathed, or died in this world, his goal was for them at some time in form or way was to find him so that he could redeem them and bring them into his family, so that in eternity we all would be part of that large throng that we saw coming and we read about in Revelations from the north, the east, the south, and the west, that the writer says, I could not number. His goal is that we would all be part of that family. So it's no wonder in our day and age, what is the biggest institution? What is the biggest group that's attacked? Family. Why? So that young people can grow up and think, when you say the word family, they think, ugh. So that when you ask a young lady who's been married and brokenhearted, or a young man who's been married and brokenhearted, and you talk about family, the enemy loves for them to be able to look and go, look, I don't want no more family. I've had all a family. If you knew my family and what I grew up in. See, the whole purpose that God created family was so that there would be an example of a family that he wants to have for eternity. And the more the enemy of this world can destroy, the more he can ruin, the more he can rob moms and dads and give them a bad taste in the people's mouths, the quicker he's able to, in his work, destroy the thought that God is trying to do. That's why it's in our day and age, we talk a lot about getting saved. We talk a lot about Jesus dying on a cross. We talk a lot about those kind of things. But when you talk about, hey, we are the family of God. No, I'm Baptist. No, I'm Methodist. I'm Church of God. No, we're a family. That's what God created. God didn't create any of those. He created a family. This morning, let me show it to you in Scriptures. I don't want you to walk away and say, Pastor Lott preached a bunch of stuff that's unscriptural. I want you to realize it from the theme. In fact, Paul himself, this was the main thrust of his messages. This was the main thrust of everything that he did. How he won people, Gentile and Jew, to his belief was that he told them, look, God wants you in his family. Let me show it to you in Scripture. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. And we're going to read through verse 7. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25. I'm going to read it from here. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor or under a master. Verse 26. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as were baptized unto Christ, they have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all under one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 4, beginning at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, or Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Let me show it to you in another place. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. verses 1 through 12. This was one letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. And notice how he took enormous time to make sure that this was spelled out. That you are adopted into the family of God. You are a son. Or if we want to expand it in our, you are sons and daughters of God. In the book of Ephesians, he doesn't even get started in the book of Ephesians before he covers this main thrust. Before he begins to deal with this main topic, he's not even going to start the letter. From verse 1 of the book of Ephesians, beginning with verse 1, notice what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Remember I said, the main character of the Bible is who? Jesus. But the main thrust of the Bible, the main purpose of the Bible, is to show you that God wants to have a family. This is important. Because when you read it, you're going to read about Jesus. But when you read about Jesus, His job was always to create a family. Notice how it says this. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Why? Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in Him all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we first, trusting in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. What are you saying, Pastor Lott? I'm telling you that God, from the beginning, from the very start, said, I want to have a family. I want to be dad. I want to be father. I want to be loved. I want to be loved not just because I am, but I want to be loved because of who I am and what I do. And if you will work with me a while ago when we're taking up the offering, this is all God is doing. He's saying, I want us to be family. You know, when we go to McDonald's a lot of times, as a dad, it'll frustrate me with my kids. Because I can go to McDonald's and walk in and ask Taylor or Nathan or Caitlin, what do you want to eat? Well, I want a hamburger or a Big Mac meal or whatever. And sometimes I'll just say, well, I just want this. Elise is real bad about this. She's notorious for this. In fact, they make TV commercials that illustrate this. And she'll say, I just want a tea. She'll get a tea. They've got all their Happy Meals. They've got all their Big Mac meals. And they're sitting there. She's sitting there with her tea. And she'll reach over and grab French fries. Yeah, she will. Won't even ask. And she'll smile like, it's okay. I'm mom. I can do this. I reach over. And you know what frustrates her or me the most? Is when our kids put their hand over the fries and like, and this is their big saying, get your own. And I'm thinking to myself, let me see, I was at the cash register a while ago. I'm the one that paid for this. I'm the one that gave her my card. And she, and you grabbed the food. I think I did get my own. You understand, when offerings take place, it's the same thing. It's God reaching into the fries in which He's bought. He gave us. He bought the Happy Meal. He's given you your life and your strength. And He said, I just want one fry. God, you need to get your own stuff now. I mean, I worked hard for my stuff. You didn't work for this stuff. I gave you this stuff. You've been blessed to have this stuff. That isn't your house. That's my house you get to live. That's not. And it's amazing how we'll show up to church and it's like, look, I ain't got no money. But what we're really doing is we're telling God, get your own. You see, what's heartbreaking is that if I wanted to, I could take that same card and I could walk back up to that front of that line and I could say, how many fries you got in that deep freeze? I don't know. We got 10 bags. Cook them all. And I want you to bring them to this table and I want you to pour them out on that head of that boy right over there. And I want him to realize that I could have as many French fries as I wanted. It's not about me having or not have. God says, I'm not hurting for anything. Time doesn't bother me. Space doesn't bother me. I can create anything I want to create. I can design anything I want to design. But the reason I designed and created you was because I wanted to have fellowship. Because I wanted to spend time. Because I wanted you to wake up one day sitting there with me and realize, you know what, God, you've been good to me. And push the fries my way and say, God, if you want them all, you can have them. If you want anything, you can have it. Why? Because of all that you've done for me, it's worthy. And when God says you do that, what does He do? He says, would you like some more? I can go back up there and get you some more. Would you like a hot fudge sundae? Would you like an apple pie? Would you like something to go with it? What does He say? He said, doing all of this, I will supply all of your needs. But the psalmist goes a step further and says, not only this, he said, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I know He's going to meet my needs. I'm living in the, you know what, God, I sure would like to have. Oh, come on now. In your life, this is what God wants. Let's look at this as we look very carefully. In the book of Ephesians and the book of Galatians, let's carefully look at what God is trying to do. Three things I want to show you that God is trying to give you this morning. Number one, He's trying to give you a parent. Look at the person beside you and say, God wants to be your parent. I know to some of us that has a bad taste. To some of us I spent my whole youth growing up. If I ever get out of this house, nobody's going to tell me what to do again. Nobody's going to be my boss again. Nobody. And I understand that maybe in your house it was dysfunctional. And I understand that in your house maybe it didn't go as well as you would like. And maybe people abused you and hurt you and cheated you and did things. I understand all of that. And maybe in your life that's the way it happened. But you can't change the fact that God still says, I want to be your parent. I want to be the dad in your life. I want to be that person that maybe failed you in times past. See, in my life, it was easier for me. That was the one part that was easier for me. Because my dad and mom did a wonderful job. God had already saved them. And since He had already saved them, He was teaching them how to be parents. And so they were doing that and passing it on to me. So when my dad said, Tim, I'm your dad, but you have a father who loves you more than I do, that was surprising to me. Because I saw a father who gave everything he had for me, and now I have him saying, there's somebody you can't even see that loves you more than I do. That was astounding to me. That's what drew me into the church. But maybe your background wasn't like that. If I was to say, you know what, God wants to be a dad like you had, you would say, well, then I don't want it. I want something a lot better than what I grew up with. You don't realize what I grew up with. My dad was absentee. My dad wasn't there. You don't realize all that I had. But God still says, I want to be that parent that is beyond anything you have. Why? Because in verse 26 he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now don't get me wrong. There's a new theology that's out that we just say everybody is the children of God. We're all the children of God. That's not right. Just because you are breathing doesn't mean you're a child of God. You know, we're all children of God in this world. No. Jesus had to die on the cross so that He could provide a way that you could become a child of God. If you were already a child of God, Jesus would never have had to come. But because we had decided we don't want any part, you can't have my fries, you can't share, God says there, we are separated. And I've got to build a bridge back for me and you. And I've got to create a way so that me and you can have this. And the only way that He had was Jesus Christ, so that we could receive the adoption of sons. Notice how He says this in chapter 4 and verse 6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart. The Spirit who cries out, Abba, and father. I hear people all the time that try to do it verbally. They try to say, I know he's my father. I know God, you're my heavenly father. I know, but it doesn't work. The Holy Spirit has to come into your life. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, then it becomes a reality that I have a Heavenly Father, that I have a powerful being who is living inside of me, that is guiding me and teaching me. Then all of a sudden it comes alive. When I do it backwards, when I try to tell somebody, look, just tell God you're sorry, tell God you made some mistakes and ask Him to forgive you. Now, you're saved. Now just tell God that He's your Father, and just tell God that you love Him, and you may say the words. But until the Spirit of God comes into your life, they're just words. Until God allows that Spirit to come in and reside, and His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, then church, for like some of us in this room, it's work. For some of us in this room, the thought of coming back next week to church, oh, you know how hard it was to get ready this morning? You know why? Because in your mind, you know what you're wanting to be. In your mind, you're knowing what you're wanting to do. But the problem is you don't have the Spirit to do it. And no matter how many times you tell yourself, I need to do better. I know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't start from here. It starts from here. If you listen to anything this preacher says today, listen to this. He wants to be a dad in your life. But it's not a dad that simply comes from the outside and starts bringing rules. It's a dad that starts from the inside and says, we're going to work our way out. How do you know that, Brother Lot? Because this is what the Scripture says. Not only do we have a parent, but also we have parity. Not only does He want to be your father, not only does He want to be, but He wants you to understand there is parity in this process. Go with me to verse 28 of chapter 3 of Galatians. Let's look at what it says. Chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. You know what that deals with? That deals with a simple topic of ethnicity. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's two different cultures, two different people, two different kinds of people. And Paul goes through each list here and says, let's break it down by degree. Not only is he wanting to be everybody's father, but that goes beyond just simply Jews. It goes into Jews versus Greeks. We could say blacks, whites, Hispanics, whatever flavor and color you want to describe. He's saying, listen, when you come into this family, it transcends that barrier. It transcends that place. When you come into the family of God, then you understand that I'm laying down all of the other things that I had as family. And now this family is bigger than any color, shape, or size. It's bigger than anything. We used to sing that song as children, but somehow it seems to escape us. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little. Every denomination, everybody sings that as children. We sing it, but I don't understand the fact that we don't believe it. The fact is that we are all the children of God. Every background, every color, every shape, every size. And God says you're not any bigger or any better. You're all equal. Now, understand this. I said parity, not equality. Look at the person beside you and say, I got some stuff you don't. I got some stuff you don't. There's some of you I can put up here on this pulpit, and I'd like to watch you preach. It's certain things that certain people have, and some of you say, yeah, and I'd like to put a mic in your hand and watch you try to sing. We all have gifts and abilities and talents and things. We're not all equal. Don't let the world, what the world wants is equality. And that's an impossibility. Listen to me very careful this morning. The world's messed up system says what we're trying to create in the world is equality. There's no such thing. These last few months, we start to figure this out when the Marine Corps decided, you know what, we're going to put women in the Marines. Nothing wrong with that. I'm sure there's wonderful positions for women in Marines, and I don't know all the details. I'm sure they could, but they wanted them with equality. Only one problem with that. When they got through basic training, and the minimum requirement, if they want equality, is that you got to do 20-something pull-ups. Not one could do over three. Why? Because God didn't create you equal. He gave you abilities that are more powerful than men. He gave you abilities that are better than men. But He also gave men that in certain areas, they're going to be different than you. There's no such thing as equality. If you keep fighting for equality in your life, you're going to be mad all the time, disappointed all the time. You're going to wonder why bathrooms aren't the same. Why can't I do this? Why don't you keep lowering the standards where we all can do the same thing? And why don't? Because your life is not built for equality. What it's built for is parity. What God says, listen, in the kingdom of God, we're all in parity in this thing. We all come to the throne equally in that area where it's parity. Color doesn't matter. Shape doesn't matter. Size doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about your background. When you come to the cross, we all are on level ground at the cross. I know I messed somebody up. But you got to get past this world system of trying to fix the world. God has given you gifts that He didn't give other people. And you can't give them to other people, and they can't give them to you. Number two, notice what he says. Neither is there Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free. The second thing is your social status. Paul said our church is not only built of multi-ethnicity, but he said also social standards. And that's difficult. When you're used to being somebody and doing everything, and I think of guys in our church and people in our church right now, and they're business owners, and I think to myself, that's the coolest thing, is that they have people who work at their businesses and people who are part of their businesses, and they all come to church together. Now, Monday through Saturday, they at work, and they got bosses. But watching them walk in on Sunday, they realize that, you know, at this place, there are no social hierarchies. It doesn't matter in here if you're a millionaire or you don't have two nickels to rub together. If you walked into this room today, you're on level ground. See, when Jesus came, that's what He came to create as a family. I go to my family and I'll be going there today. You know what? My mom will not have me a table set off to the side. She's not going to say, Tim, now you know Trent makes a lot more money than you do. And, you know, he's got a swimming pool now, and you don't. And, you know, Trent's just, he's just a little better than you now. So I tell you what, you go sit on the couch, we'll just hold the plate in your lap. Trent, you sit right here with your family, right here at the table. Now, wouldn't that feel awful? Why? Because that's not the way family works. When we walk into the family, you know what? We're all equal. There's parity there. We're all the same. We may come from different places, different cities, different backgrounds, but the fact is we walked into that house and mom and dad treated us with parity. Not only that, but our social standards didn't matter. If one became a doctor, one became this, one became a preacher, a teacher, mom and dad didn't care. She was just as proud of one of us as she was the other. They were just as proud of me when I pursued what I was supposed to do as they were. I tell my kids all the time, I don't care what God's called you to be. If you're called to be the best garbage collector for waste management they've ever seen, I could care less. As long as you are what God called you to be, you're happy in it and you're pursuing your dreams, I am happy with that. I got no dream for you that overrides your dream. And here's the thing. I won't ever think less of you or more than you. I'm going to be just as proud of Nathan as I am Taylor, and I'm going to be just as proud of Taylor as I am Caitlin.
They're all my kids. Some of us wasn't raised in homes like that. And because of it, this family thing bothers us. It disturbs us because we know, you know what, Brother Lott, I was the black sheep of the family. I was always looked down on. I was always, hey, I'm sorry. But that's not the ultimate family. There is a family that does not care. And Paul said, not only is there Jew or Greek, neither is there bond nor free. But listen to this. There is neither male nor female. Let me tell you one of the things that just burns my hide. Is when this crazy world says that Christianity is subverts women and tries to... Let me tell you something. The biggest country in the world who promotes women's rights is America. And can I tell you something? America was a Christian nation. That's why they have the rights that they have. Go to Iraq and start you a women's live movement there. See how long that lasts. One little girl in another country can write a letter of how she don't like the way it's going and she wants to grow up to do this. And somebody pulls the truck over, climbs up in the truck and shoots her. And they don't even get prosecuted for it. They get praised for it. So before you start to beat on God, you better realize that the Bible and God was the very first institution that ever gave women their rights. It was the ever very place that said, you know what? Women have the same stature as men. Because when I grew up, it wasn't a lot of men that were in the church. It was a lot of precious women who were carrying churches and praying and holding up things. Why? Because it's only in the church is there equality between male and female. Don't even get me started. I don't care what kind of garbage you grew up listening to. All you have to do is tell them, move to another country. Any country you like that you think that has better rights, that treats women better, go. They're not going. Why? Because we were built on a Christian nation. And in our Christian teachings, this is what it is. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave or free. And there is neither male nor female. We are all equal at the cross. My wife's prayers, I feel like most of the time, get there better than me. I think God listens to her a lot better than He listens to me a lot of times. I don't look at her and say, you know what, Elise, you're not a minister. And you just need to sit over there and look good and just smile a lot. No. That lady right there is one of the most powerful ladies you'd ever want to meet in prayer. One of the highest character people I know. And when I'm in trouble, that's the person right there I look at and say, Elise, you need to be praying for me. Why? Because at the cross, there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free. We are all part of a family. A beautiful family that God has created. Let me tell you something about family. Family has some unique parts to it. It has some unique things. In family, you have expectations. In family, you find expectations. And nowhere else, but only in the family. When I was growing up, this was the way it always was. We were always dreaming and talking about what we would do. And when I saw Taylor growing up, I saw myself reliving my parents' life. Taylor for a while wanted to do this, and then he wanted to do that, and then he wanted to do... And every time he'd want to do something, we were right there with him. I remember when he wanted to be a chef. We started looking up chef places in New Orleans and Texas, and you'd go to Houston, go to chef school, and we were like, this is what you want to do? We're all behind. We bought books on cooking, and we had all kind of books laid out, and even people in the church had given him some cookbooks and said, here's some stuff to try. Why? Because in a family, there's expectations. If you come up to Pastor Lott or you come into All Seasons and you say, Brother Lott, this is something God's always put on my heart. You know what? We're not going to look at you and think, look, you're just too dumb to do that. Look, I don't feel it. My main goal as a pastor, the main job that I have, is to hear what God has put into your heart. And with everything that I have, is try to get you there. Somebody will say, well, Brother Lott, look what... I'm going to tell you what makes a great church and a great pastor. It's very simple. It's when I do my best to make you look good, it makes me look good. That's it.
It works the same in a family. If my kids are looking good, hey, that's Taylor's dad. Now, there was a time when I was Taylor's dad, and he was my son. Now that I'm getting older, I go places to ball games and stuff. They don't even know my name. That's just Taylor's dad. That's Taylor's dad. That's Nathan's dad. And sometimes it bothers me. I'm like, hey, I have a name. But I understand. What's happening now is that as I have pushed them, now my identity is wrapped up in who they become. And it works that way in church. When you grow a family or you pursue a job or you become the person you want to be, you know what happens? People look and they say, hey, he goes to All Seasons. And I'm attached. And somebody will say, I meet a lot of your people. I work with two or three of your people. And guess what? I look good. And I didn't do anything. But that's the way God is. You say, brother, how does God like that? What does the Bible say? That men will see your good works and they will glorify the Father. He says, what I do is I push you out front. And as I push you out front, I give you the opportunity to bring glory back to me. There's expectations. There's forgiveness in family. There's encouragement in family. And I hate to say this one, but I'm on. There's discipline in family. People in your family get up in your business, don't they? They know you junk. That's why a church sometimes is a hard place for it to become your family, even though you're supposed to. It's hard because I don't want, you know, people knowing what I do and where my struggles and. But it's a place of discipline. It's a place of support. It's a place of resolution. It's a place of identity. It's a place of security. It's a place of acceptance. And it's a place of comfort. I know a lot of times we show up on Easter. But if we really understood what church was supposed to be, and what God had created, this big family, church would become such a powerful part of our life. Because He created it for this one reason, to give you all the things that you're needing in your life, whether it's support, whether you're needing accountability, whether you need. He said, I created this family. He created this design, this crazy looking design that you see in here right now. And He said, I created it all so that you would have the ability to be together and to live together and to. And this is what God says, I have done. Number three. Not only is He our parent, not only is He after parity, but He said, I want to give you a promise. Chapter 3, verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. In my family, there are certain things and benefits that come with it. There are certain beautiful things that come with my family that I enjoy. They're promises. For some of you in this room today, what you need more than anything else in your life is you need the promises that come from God. God has tried desperately, emphatically, to try to bring promises into your life. Let's go back to that book of Ephesians one more time, and I want to show it to you, and I want to read it, and I want to stop at spots. Go back with me to Ephesians 1, and let's read. Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. When we celebrate Easter, when Jesus went to the cross, what He was establishing and what He was giving us was promises. When you saw that video a while ago, it is so beautifully illustrated that every time He took a stripe, every time He took a beating, every time they did that to Him, you know what was happening? On the screen, I loved how it showed in that video, it would stop and it would say, greed was being destroyed. Lying was being destroyed. All the promises that I could not get from any other place, all of a sudden was being broken simply because He was being broken. And this morning, I don't care where in your life, I don't care where in your past, I don't care what you've been through, I don't care what has happened, I only know this. I only know that when I turn to His family and I decide to accept what He's given me as family, He says, Tim, here are the promises that come with being part of my family. It isn't simply that I save you of your sins. It's not simply that I redeem you. But there are precious promises. There is freedoms that come from it, that there come from nothing else in this world. I like the way the old writer says, he said, I got something that the world could not give, and I gained something the world could not take away. We are living in a time to where what we need more than anything else is family. And I'm not talking about a family that this world puts together, but I'm talking about a family that encourages, a family that stays together, a family that stands together, a family that prays together, a family that won't quit on each other, a family that says we don't meet just on special occasions, but a family that God said, I paid my life's blood to create so that God, through the Holy Spirit, could come down and visit with His family. And this morning, I don't know what your past was like. I don't know what your family life is like. I don't know what you endured, what you went through. But you know, part of being a pastor, probably the most difficult part is this. When I start to get close to somebody, do you know what we always have to walk through? It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they've been. There's aspects of their life, and it's always the same. If I get close enough and we get to be friends enough and they feel comfortable enough, they're going to say, hey, can I come by and see you? Or can we go eat lunch? Or... And during that conversation, here's what's going to come up. Brother Lott, there's some things that happened in my life. There's some things that I went through, some people that hurt me or things that I did. Or you know what they're doing? They're finally opening up and they're sharing about what prevents them from wanting to have a family. Brother Lott, you don't know, I had people that hurt me when I was little. Or I you got to walk through it. Why? Because somewhere in the process, you can't just come to church because it's going to church. And you can't get dressed up and just show up just because you're showing up. Sooner or later, what God requires more than anything else in your life is this. I want you in my family. And the moment God does that, it doesn't matter who you are, it pulls at us. You say, Brother Lott, well, you had a good family. It must have been easy. No, because I was the one who was always doing things to hurt my family. You know how I would tell God I didn't need to be in His family? I would say, God, You don't need anybody like me, because Lord knows anybody I've ever loved, and I've always let them down, and I've always hurt them, and I've always disappointed them. And see, I had good parents, but I still couldn't understand family. Because I felt like, God, if You pick me, You're going to pick somebody that's going to give You a bad name. Some of you feel like just the opposite. God, I can't trust. God, I everybody I've ever tried to depend on, everybody. But God says, listen to me. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not a man that I lie. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Well, Brother Lotta, is He going to get on to me sometimes? He promises it. He says, those that I love, I chastise. I correct. But I don't quit on you. I can attest to the chastisement. But it was never done and never brought so that it might hurt me. It was always so, Tim, come on now. You know better than this. All I can tell you is this. You can celebrate Jesus dying on a cross. You can celebrate this morning that He died, rose from the dead, and forgave you of your sins. And then you can walk out of this room today and wonder why all these people are so happy. Wonder why they just hug necks and man, I don't like nobody touching me. I don't want nobody being close to me. Hey, look, let's just get in the car. Let's get out of here. Hey, you want to stop by the info? No, we ain't. Still, I don't know nobody know that. You know what the problem is? As long as Jesus is somebody that just does something for free, it's okay. But you're going to miss the biggest part of it. In fact, you're going to miss the whole reason the Bible was ever written. The main character was Jesus. He will always be the main character. But the main purpose was so that you would have a family. Not a family that lives for a little while and dies. Because somebody would say, I already got a family. I don't need any more family. Well, here's the problem with that. When you die, you get to go to your real family. They asked Jesus about that while He was living. He said, what if a man got married to a woman and he died? And his brother married her and he died. And it kept going to where all seven brothers married this one woman and all of them died. Whose wife will she be in heaven? Because that's the way we think, ain't it? When we get to heaven, we're going to walk around. No, you're going to be in the family. Jesus looked and said, you don't understand what you're talking about. He said, in heaven there is no marriage and giving in marriage. We are all the children of God. Me and Elise, right now, I lean on her so much. She is my wife. She is my best friend. She is. But can I tell you, one day when we get to heaven, we both are going to fully become what we were designed to be. We will be brothers and sisters like I never can imagine us being brothers and sisters. I'll get to see her the way God saw her from the beginning. She'll get to see me. See, if you can't think beyond that, if you can only think these few years you're living, you're going to miss out on the biggest part of life. I look around and I have a huge family. I have a large family. And I'm thankful. Not only for this world, but for the world that's coming. If you're here today, if you're sitting in this room, you say, Brother Lott, my problem's never been asking God to forgive me. My problem has never been simply going to church. I don't mind going to church. But I'll tell you what my problem has always been. I can't ever seem to get close. I can't ever seem to let my guard down. I can't ever seem... But Brother Lott, you don't know what my family was like. And you don't know what I grew up in. And you don't know a lot of the things I... Listen to me. You can spend the rest of your church life letting the devil rob you of something. Or you can finally realize, yes, maybe there were these earthly parents or earthly grandparents or earthly world that I lived in. It tried its best to hurt me. But God never stopped loving me. In fact, He predestined before I was ever born, before the foundations of the world, that I would be in His family. Will you stand? If I can get my prayer people to come up front. I hope that you have a wonderful day today. I hope you're safe in your travels, and I want to thank you so much for spending time with us. But I'm not asking you this morning, are you saved? I'm not asking you this morning, have you asked God to forgive you? So if you come this morning, it's not like people are going to watch, oh, look, that's one that ain't saved. They're going down there. You may know the Lord and be saved. That's not what I'm after this morning. What I want you to do is I want you to enlarge your sight. I want you to think seriously. I want you to think about, Pastor, you're right. I don't have a problem with Jesus. I don't have a problem with Him coming and doing stuff for me. If our musicians have come and play for us this morning, they're here. Let's see who's still here. I don't have a problem this morning, Pastor, with Jesus dying on the cross and forgiving me. In fact, I've asked Him to forgive me. One person put it this way. He said, I don't have a problem with Jesus. I have a problem with His church. Well, if you have a problem with His church, then you do have a problem with Him. Because it's the church that He died for. But if you're honest today and say, Pastor, what I need is family. How do I start this process? How do I start? Well, I'll tell you how. These people right across this front are some of the people that I trust more than anybody in this state. They're my prayer people. They're not here to share your business. If they do, you won't ever get to see them up front again. They're here because of one thing. Because they care as a family member about your life. And if it's something this morning that's hurting you, and something this morning the enemy is working on you, or something this morning you say, look, I need somebody to stand with me, touching this thing together, praying for this thing. Maybe it's something in my life. That's what they're here to do. Maybe it's a vision or something you want to see, a dream in your life. That's what they're here for. And so they're not expecting you this morning to come saying, I need to get saved. If it is, great. But what they're expecting this morning is for somebody to come up and say, hey, I'm having trouble connecting. I'm having problems being part of the family. And I need God to heal. And I need to let go. So that I can let Him be my dad. I want Him to be my dad. I want Him to be the love of my life. I want Him to be all in all. I want Him to be everything that I can have. If that's you this morning, and that's what we want to see. I'm going to pray this prayer, and if that's you today,
Before you run off to other people's houses, before you, why don't you take time and start today? Why don't you start today saying, you know what, this year, I'm going to be part of a family. Not just go to church. Yesterday was one of the happiest days I've had. The young married, or the married couples class put on the Easter party we had here. And I showed up with my video camera. And nobody in this place was happier than me. I was getting Kool-Aid. And why were you happy? Because I knew the lives that a lot of people live. I knew some of them's stories and where they've been and what they've been through and how hard a year it had been. And to watch their kids running around hunting Easter eggs and watching the smiles on their faces. And I can't imagine what God looked like up in heaven smiling. But I know on this side, there couldn't have been anybody happier in this world. Because for just a moment, the family was together. And we were laughing and smiling and loving on each other. Are you part of that? Do you want to be part of that? I can't imagine life without it. You say, Pastor, that's what I need, then this is your moment. It's your moment to step out and say, will you pray with me? I need this. I need a family. Not a church. Family. People who care. Will you pray with me? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, as every person across this building is listening to my voice. God, this was your message today. And I don't know if it was just for one person. But God, if there's that one person in this room right now that says, you know what, I go to church, but I don't feel like I'm part of it. I believe in Jesus, but I don't feel like I'm connected like I need to be. I need family. I need people in my life. I need friends. There's somebody sitting here right now. You've said to yourself a bunch of times, they wouldn't care if I was there or not. That's not true. If you're here right now, Father, move on their heart. Give them the courage right at this moment to step out of that chair, step out of that seat, and make a step into their future. It starts with family. It starts with them deciding, I want to be part of a family. Jesus, you died so that they could have this opportunity. You shed your blood to bring them into a family. If you're in this place right now, this is your moment. I ask you to come right now. Step out right now. Move right now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't wait for the person beside you or at least three or four others. This is your moment. This is you. Your time. Let Easter be what it was designed to be. Not just a place where you say, I believe in Jesus. But it's a place where I realize what Jesus came to give. I'm tired of feeling alone. I'm tired of feeling like I'm doing life by myself. I'm tired of feeling like nobody cares. The enemy sits me in my bedroom and we talk for hours about how nobody cares. And I listen to music and nobody cares. I want to tell you something today. God sent me by to tell you He cares. You've got to meet Him. You've got to come after Him by faith. You've got to decide, I know He cares. I believe He cares. And step out and receive Him. Not just as your Savior, but as your friend. Father, right now,
I could not imagine my life, Lord, without your family.
Thank you.
get to be you. I love what Brother Joel said a while ago. You come each Sunday, you don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to happen or who it's going to happen to. And I couldn't help but think about next Sunday. And if you don't have any plans for second service next Sunday, I hope you'll be here. But now here's the key. You got to wear Hawaiian gear. Because I'm going to be in a Hawaiian shirt and flip-flops and stuff like that. Because next week, the family's getting together and we're having a luau. Now, when we do a luau around here, it's serious. It isn't like we just pull pork type thing. We'll walk in with at least one or two whole hogs, fully grilled. We'll sit there all night cooking them. And we'll have snow cone machines and different things like that. And it's a luau. So you don't want to show up in a luau without some Hawaiian gear on. Now, if you are going to wear shorts, don't wear no shorts. Wear Brother Lot shorts. I'll have on pants, but I will have my Hawaiian gear on. Why you say that, Brother Lot? Because we laugh in a family. We have a lot of serious moments. What you see across the front, these are serious moments. They're moments where people are walking through things in their life. But you know what? You got to laugh. You got to have fun. Next week, you'll get to see a lighter, funner side. So after the service, we'll go back. We'll have a luau. So you ain't got to buy dinner next week. It's paid for. Just look at the person beside you and say, see, it's free. They don't even want your money. All we want is you to be part of the family. I hope you have a wonderful Easter. I hope as you travel, I hope you're safe. Just know that we care a lot about you. And we pray that you have the best Easter you've ever had. Not because just Jesus died on the cross for you. Because if everybody you meet today treats you ugly, if everybody you bump into in every house you go, you feel like an outsider, you can smile and get in your car and say, you know what? I still got a good family. I'm still part of a really, really, really good family. It'll be all right. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for allowing us today to celebrate your coming back. The world doesn't say much about you living, you dying. But Lord, today they don't have anything to say. Because today we put the critics to silence. We declare that there's never lived any individual in the world, never been a man, never been a woman, who has lived on this earth and died. And yet, the grave could not hold them. 3 days later, you came forth to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are our Savior, our friend. You are my brother. You are my all in all. And I thank you for the family that you've allowed me to have. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.